this room, but it's not a bedroom with soft furnishings, so I'll have to.
Right, okay. Well, we're recording now. Yeah,
Hello.
When I get the new studio space sorted as well, it'll be all change, and I'll have to work out the sound and stuff. Right. Well, first of all, where's our wait a minute, our flags have
Remember
disappeared.
the Cant. Now I get that reference.
Yeah, I thought you guys might get these references. Yeah, why? Oh, I don't understand what's going on here. Hang on.
So Anjun's the one to beat.
Anjun's the one to beat. The
Okay,
flags
yeah.
are
Okay.
missing. Why are the flags missing?
I mean, I'm not as affiliated with Earth as I used to be, you know.
I know you've there we go. I've got everything in the right that bit. That, there we go. We've got our flags back. Hang on, there's one that I've got that we don't need. It's
Two out of three of us have new hair.
Do you?
I'm just losing it.
Well, you've got a fringe. You don't usually have the
No,
fringe
I've just
on.
washed my hair. It's just drying
Oh,
up.
right.
It'll soon be.
Amish's got 90s curtains.
But By the end of the show, my hair will be. It's because I've got the headphones on as well, so I can't put my hair how it normally goes. But hang on, hang on.
You've gone a bit old English sheepdog.
Yeah. There we go. That's the Hamish we
But I
recognise.
don't want. But I don't want the. I don't want the headphones to ruin my hair because
No.
you know
That's it now.
I've
Now
got a
you've
bit
got a
out
bit of a
about it.
Pat Sharp thing going on.
Thanks. I think. Right. Okay. So.
And
As I.
I had to go cutting my own hair and actually came out pretty good.
Oh,
Why
how
would
long
you
is it
cut
now?
it?
I was
That's
like, I
great.
mean.
Oh, good.
Well, that's it cut down again. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought you had it like tied out the way or something there. I didn't realize you'd gone full.
No, yeah.
The back's
Okay.
getting a bit
Thank you.
fluffy there, but everything
It's
else is good.
good. It's easier to dry, but also,
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was doing a few Divinity videos and I was just waiting to see if you would actually catch on, Drew.
Oh, that your hair is shorter.
Yeah.
Well,
Well, I'm so used to you having it up.
That's
I
it. We're
don't know
used to
whether,
you tying
yeah,
it
I don't know
back in
whether
the
it's
way.
shorter
That's
or
why I
whether
didn't
it's just a
realize
bong in
either.
the back
Yeah.
with friends coming out. Yeah.
All right. Excuse
Because
exempted.
normally I do notice people when they have the haircut. I'm not,
Yeah, I'm one of those. I noticed as well. I was about to say something, but I forgot what it was now. Oh my God. Old age.
Remember the cut.
Remember the cut. Yes. Oh yeah, I know what I was going to say. I was out on Saturday night socializing with humans. I know, crazy.
What the fuck?
I know. I was at a comedy gig
Fake
in Bath.
agoraphobic.
I know. I was at a comedy gig in Bath, and I met like a bunch of friends who I haven't seen for ages. And Char, my friend Charlotte Char, she was loving my hair game. So you know, that was good. My hair was good. You know, right? Okay.
It's a good hair game.
It's flopped down now.
And you're going for
Oh,
the
hang
goatee
on. Oh,
now.
I
I
can't
mean,
hear you. Hang on.
do
That was stupid. I can't hear you. Forgot to take these off. Yeah, it's yeah,
So,
but
are
it
you
was.
going goatee?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to trim it and tidy it, and I ended up cutting bits too much and everything. And in the end, I just sort of tried. I mean, I've noticed actually it's not very even. I never noticed that before. So in the end, I just had to take the, you know, the put the guard on the shaver thing and make it roughly this length. Yeah.
That's cool. It's very, very cavalier. You're both
Yeah.
very cavalier,
It's
actually.
funny you should say that. After the comedy gig, the place gets turned into like a disco, and people wanted to be. So I was like stood at the edge with my drink, going, but there was a guy who was literally dressed the cavalier. This is, and he didn't seem to be with anybody. I thought, ah, good on you, man. You know, coming in and doing the things. I don't know if it was his real hair or not, but it had like the full long, you know, a bit like Chris's hair would have been before it was cut. Right. Explanation for the t-shirt
Hang on,
thing.
wait. Before we move away from Cavaliers, I'm always a bit torn with the Civil War because obviously I want to be on the parliamentary side, the roundhead side,
Yeah,
because I
yeah,
like A, I like their
style-wise, though,
aesthetic,
yeah.
and B, you know, killing kings. That's always good.
Roundhead aesthetic is the Cavalier with the locks. Was
I
that's
like the
actually.
more utilitarian brutal. They look like brutes in a cool way that I like, but
It
they
locks a
look
brute,
like.
that
They're
boy.
like them. They're like the equivalent of like the skin fade people, the skin fade haircut people with North Face jackets.
Oh,
No, I
fucking
think no.
hell.
That no, I think they're the equivalent of original skinheads before it became like a Nazi aesthetic.
Nah, skin
Not
fade
saying
North Face
that.
jackets. That's them.
But the parliamentary side was the Protestants, and the royalists were the Catholics. So, you know,
you're torn in all directions, aren't you? Well, we're going to do a little bonus round.
Hang on. Also, Pope Francis. Rip.
Oh yeah, rip to Francis, the goat. Yeah.
He was good on some things and less good on others. But
well, he was the head of a right wing organization who was quite. Who shouldn't
very left wing.
Who shouldn't be a right wing organization by any stretch? But you know,
better than Ratzinger.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that in a minute because I want to get this out before my brain forgets what I'm talking about. T-shirts. So I got 7 new nerdy T-shirts because I've had to like chuck away something because things are getting worn out and everything and holes in them. And of course, Mum and Alan are no longer going on holidays, partly because Mum's dead. Well, not partly, probably mostly or all the time. Yeah, you get the idea. Mum passed away back in January, not going on holiday and picking me up 2 or 3 T-shirts every time. So I thought, well, I'll buy some new T-shirts. So I bought 7 new T-shirts, new nerdy T-shirts, and I thought, well, I wonder how many people get them. And last night on the live show, the Monday Night Radio music show, I showed them off one at a time, and Anjun got, I think she got 4 out of 7.
Okay. Can we do this bridge style? Can we? I think we should both bid, and if we get our bid, we get extra points. I'm going to bid 4. I think I can equal Anjun.
Bridge. Oh, you mean like name that tune like that sort of? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, also, I didn't know what bridge was. What's bridge? Okay. Is that a TV show?
Well,
no, it's a card game.
Oh right, I get it. I know you mean bridge. Now I get what you mean. Yeah.
See, I feel I'd be lucky if I get 3. I don't have a lot of confidence in this.
Oh right. Okay.
Right.
Well,
right,
anyway.
I'm going to go 2. All right. I'm chickening out. I'm doing 2.
Right. Okay. Well, there's 7 of them, and I think Andrew. I'll check when I
bring. Is this one of them? Does this count as one of them?
This is one of them, and I think. And if you don't both get this one, then we're on the wrong show.
Okay, no, 3. I want to.
You're saying 3.
Yeah. Okay.
That's Star Trek.
That's right, yeah. I had a whole speech that when I was out walking the dog, I do strange things. Like in my head, I was practicing a belter speech about Inyaloda not recognizing the cant and stuff. But obviously, you two would. Who got this one? Oh, yeah, people got this one because I gave a slight clue saying it was related to Space Virgins. I sort of gave it away, really. And they went, it must be something to do with the Expanse energy. Yeah, but nobody actually recognized it, as far as I'm aware. Temer got one. Temer got one of the ones that I thought was one of the slightly more difficult ones, actually. But he was good.
Temer, we've been doing like trivia games with Temer. Smart fucking lad, Temer.
Yeah, he's smart. Something. Yeah, he's a clever guy. But it's like not everybody recognizes film. So like my dad, you know, Alan didn't. He was like blank. Right, I'm going to go and get all the T-shirts, including the dirty one from yesterday. I say dirty. It was. It's in the washing now.
Unless I put it on YouTube. It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll get cancelled from my own channel. Right, you two chat away for a minute. I'll go and grab the T-shirts, and we can do the same thing I did last night. I'll hold them up one at a time and see how you guys got on. Okay, but I'll be right back.
All right. Okay.
While he's gone, do you get my T-shirt?
It is a black T-shirt that is it like reminiscent of like what's it like nouveau gothic or something like that?
Nouveau gothic.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm insulted.
What is it?
Bit of curry there, and then I have noticed when I've eaten something greasy like oatcakes or whatever, I do this.
Oh, okay, so that's more like Picasso's brown period.
Yeah.
All right, I've got some artwork here.
Oh, the camera doesn't like it.
I love my pussy. That's from Rosie.
Rosie. She's all right for a ginger.
She's not a real ginger.
Is it fake ginger?
This fake ginger, yeah.
Who would dye their hair ginger? Why did you do that? What are you doing, Rosie? Email the address as well.
I always forget what side I am
on. What's her natural?
It's probably brown. Although, streaks of grey in it. Similar to mine, actually.
Oh, nice.
Why do you... Oh, you're talking about Rosie's hair, not yours. Yeah, gotcha. Because I thought, we know what colour his hair is, unless he's been dyeing it for many years. Mm. Yeah, we're all sort of dark brown, aren't we?
Dark brown.
Well, I'm really dark brown.
You know,
gray, yeah, the grey's not showing off on camera. My beard went grey.
Well, yeah, yeah. Doing. Actually, I was looking at a picture, and I thought, well, it can't be that old because I've only had these glasses for a little while. So these are my newest glasses, and I had quite a dark still all the way around there, and I thought, oh God, that's gone grey quick. Ooh. Probably not. I know why. I can blame various life things.
My beard is quite ginger, and a lot of ginger in my beard.
All right, my uncle was not, like that. He had kind of dark hair with like a really coppery sort of beard. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a bit of copper in it, but I think that's
you can see. Yeah,
now.
I can see a bit of red, your beard. Yeah.
Okay.
It comes out more in the beard.
So we've got seven t-shirts.
Yep, right, t-shirt time.
Seven t-shirts. This one obviously is related to The Expanse. If you're watching this video or you're a fan of The Expanse, you're going to get that right away. If you don't know, you're a filthy in-your-loader.
Should we be more specific? Because that is the that was on a series. It wasn't it graffitied up when
it was.
Haverstock got penetrated on the wall.
Havelock.
Oh, you do so well, Haverstock. That's what you always said back in the day, though. So consistency.
Yeah, the consistency. Never mind.
I would not have remembered his name now.
Right. Okay.
I'm surprised. I got to be honest.
Well done. Well, I was. I mean, I had this whole speech for if somebody didn't recognize it, I was going to complain about Inuloda not caring about.
Also, funny little interjection. I watched this episode with Ghosty, and when it ended, he went, "You're not going to be talking about this episode."
One of the reasons that, there's a couple of points in it, but I know that you're not going to be happy with most of it, so that's why I'm prevaricating quite a lot here. That's okay.
Love that word.
So, remember the can. Inuloda no care. Talking about, I can't do the accent. I had it all worked out in my head how to do the words so that the accent worked. But you know,
I do hate that. I can do an accent. I can do an accent perfectly in my head, and then I try and do it out of my mouth, and it's.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that's.
I did a Southeast one yesterday because Alan was talking about something, and I was impersonating somebody who's dealing with a house for us, and he said that's a really good Southeast, good impersonation. I said, well, probably not a good impersonation of him, but it's a not bad Southeast accent. Anyway, let's not get into this because I'll be there anyway. The Canterbury was a ship in season one, which was a nice hauler out of series, which got destroyed apparently by the Martians. James Holden, the person who was basically the main guy throughout the series, got the truth out to the Belters that it wasn't an accident, etc., etc. Anywho, let's not get into that, because if you want to know about that, go back and watch Series 1 of Space Virgins, The Actual Expanse, if you want, you crazy bastards. Okay, this is the so that's
one. You can't watch The Expanse legally anymore, can you?
No.
I don't think, well, half of it I think you can, still legally. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
But, I mean, big news, probably shouldn't have led with this, but we're going on Amazon. They're replacing The Expanse with us. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's we didn't want to tell anybody, and that we are the reason that you can't watch the real thing anymore.
Yeah. This is a £10 million house.
Yep. Yeah, that's what he's moved to. He's moved to a new house. You don't know anything about it because it's all just getting decorated and everything. Yeah. Okay, so this is the t-shirt I was wearing yesterday. Now there are two versions of this. I don't know. I'll show you it first, and then I'll explain the. Why I chose this one and what the other version's like. So here we go.
Is that text or? Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
They're angular lines.
Oh, that's from a game. Is it? Oh, what game is that from?
Somebody did say a game yesterday. They were wrong
as well.
Is it
not a game?
They were wrong too. Oh, it's very muffled for the mic, but it's in front of the microphone.
Did Anjun get this one?
Anjun got it, yep.
Okay, it's sci-fi then.
Okay, you both need a clue? Yeah? It's part of a sequence. Clue, it's part of a sequence, and the other version of the t-shirt had the whole sequence, or at least like the highlights.
Is it Alien?
It's Alien.
That was my initial thought. It's the titles loading
the
at the beginning
loaded,
of the first film.
The way
right?
the title yeah. And, wow. In Alien. Yeah. That's the only film called Alien is the first one, yes.
Yeah. Yes. No. Alien. Alien 2.
You're going to call it Alien 1, aren't you, prick?
Alien 1. Yeah.
Right.
Who came up with that idea for a t-shirt?
It's a good one.
It's a great one. It's a great one. Right, I'm just going to try and get it into the washing basket now. Fuck, I missed. It bounced off the door frame.
Oh,
hang on. Okay, hang on.
No points
for new t-shirt. I don't want it.
No.
Hang on, you've not got. Oh, okay, I see.
He's got an. He should bet on how many t-shirts he can get.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So... Hamish. How many of the t-shirts do you think you could get into the washing basket?
So you got five left.
I'm not throwing them. Those bit? Are all clean. I'm not throwing them. I'm not throwing them. Crumpled up across the room.
From here to there. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I'll do them. I'll try and remember the order I did them in last night. Now, almost everybody got this one. A few people didn't, but almost everybody got this one. It was hard to tell because people were sort of doing the, oh, I don't know what that one is joke for this one. You two, I would bet money you would both get this one instantly, okay? Because, I mean, there is a big clue in the actual t-shirt itself, and also it's quite famous. This one is sort of what I would call a general nerdery. Oh, no, I did say about the sequence thing, right? Okay, here we go. You ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I use Arch, by the way. Yeah.
So that was quite an easy one for you guys. I thought you'd get that.
That's it. Yeah, that's your forum signature.
Right, okay. Now, this is the
all
one...
right, I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right. Well, this is the one that Temer got, and I don't think anybody else did. I didn't think Anjin would get this one, but I would have given her big kudos if she did. So here's the next one.
Okay. Oh no. Is this an American classic reference?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by a classic, American classic. What do you mean by American classic?
Well, like a Mark Twain.
It's not to do with Huckleberry Finn. No,
you see Huckleberry Finn. Yeah, Huckleberry. No, I don't.
I'm your Huckleberry. The hat. Wait a minute. Facial hair's a clue.
This is not the right answer, but it's going to be an answer I give. It's not Alex from The Expanse.
No, it's not. Good.
That sounds like
good educated guess. Yeah. No, that is Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday from Tombstone.
Oh, right. I never got that.
There were others that were that had. I see what I hate about these kind of t-shirts is you get people that put underneath it what it is. You know, they'll say, Doc Holliday from Tombstone. It's like, why put it on a t-shirt and then explain it? You twat.
I don't want people understanding my t-shirt.
No, you want people that know to know. That's fair enough. I think, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I think there is exception. The exception being what's written on your t-shirt, Hamish, remember the can, because it's part of the actual graphic.
Oh, no, I don't mind writing. Yeah. It says I'm your Huckleberry.
From The Expanse.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that says I'm your Huckleberry, because that's the catch, one of his catchphrases, and, you know, the facial hair and the hat. Are, you know, I just mean some of them underneath said, you know, Doc Holliday, you know, or Tombstone or whatever, and it's like, no, why tell people that? It's, you know, it's one of those cool things. Yeah. Now, this one, I find this very interesting. I'll say no more about it until you guys have seen it in Medigas, right? So you've got Aspen Beer.
Okay.
That's Blade Runner.
I thought this was a Cleveland Browns thing.
Cleveland's
in Ohio, not Colorado.
I don't get the. I mean, Aspen is a skiing resort.
People didn't really get this one, and I was partly smug about it, but also I was a bit surprised. So,
I haven't actually seen Blade Runner, but is it the beer that Harrison Ford drinks?
You know, you guys are so close, but so far away at the same time.
Other than Weyland-Yutani being Blade Runner, I don't know.
Well, that's the bit where you're far away, but so close. Weyland-Yutani was the original name of the company in Alien. This is the beer they drink in Alien at the in the galley of the ship before people start dying.
Oh, it's the company in Alien.
Now the thing is though, they changed the spelling and put a D on it, and it becomes Weyland-Yutani by aliens.
Yeah.
Oh, for a minute.
So the only time The only time it's called, hang on, I'm going the wrong way. The only time it's called Weylan Yutani, it's never named on screen, but that's what's on all the company materials in Alien, because Ridley Scott is a real detail person. So when we don't know,
the safe bet is Alien.
Well, I hate to tell you, but that's the second one of the two from Alien. The rest are not from Alien. Yeah.
No, I know Weyland Yutani is Alien, but I always get it mixed up with Voight-Kampff.
Well, that's the test. That's not the company.
That's the test. No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, the company and what's the company in Blade Runner called then?
No idea.
A Blade Incorporated.
Tell you what, let's see if people are paying attention, and I'm not going to say it out loud. I want you guys to tell us in the comments below the video what the company in Blade Runner is called, or send it to that address.
Below the video.
Yeah, comments below, or send us an email. There you go.
That's not a telephone, that's an up and down.
Right. That was my attempt at doing sort of online interaction-y, what do they call it when you ask for
feedback? Engagement.
It's engagement, but there's another word for it as well, where you're sort of holding them to ransom by not telling them in the video what you want the answer.
Murder.
I'll probably slip up and mention it later, knowing me. I'll go, oh yeah, remember earlier when we were talking about, oh fuck. Okay, right. Now, the last two are video games, so that's a clue, but you'll get that anyway. It's okay, pixelated, very, not pixelated, pixel graphics arts. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. So far, I thought Anjan got four, didn't I? She got Alien, the t-shirt with the title on it. She knew the Arch one, and she got both of these. So that's the four she got.
Hang on, did Drew get the Alien one? Is that a point in his...
No. I don't. I'm not counting that one.
So you two are not nerds at all, are you?
No.
I think either one of you you'll both recognise this one. You may or might not get it. I'm not sure, but I don't think any of you are going to get it. Anjan's the only one who got the last one, because it is, well, yeah, you'll see the last one. But this is the next one. This is the second last one.
Oh, wait a minute. That's, oh, shit.
Character,
it's not Bomberman.
Character and or no. Game I'm happy with.
Is it?
Mega Man? Bomberman?
No.
What's that bad platformer that old people think is good?
Shut up. It's a great platformer.
What's it called?
And I'm not that old.
Oh, my God.
Oh, hang on. No, hang on. That is... Yeah. Is it that? Is that what it is?
I'm not entirely sure. It is a platformer, though, yeah. But the graphic kind of gives
it's
that
It's obviously
away.
A platformer. It's like a NES-era platformer or Commodore 64 platformer. I'm sorry. That's just history to me. That's in the history bracket.
What's that?
Bloody young people.
There's Chucky Egg. I don't think it's Chucky
like
Egg.
Somebody made that guess. Chucky Egg. Yeah, but that was not right. You're in the right vicinity,
the other platformer.
Though.
You mentioned it. It's that platformer you mentioned the other day when we were playing the trivia quiz. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Jumpman.
No, Jumpman was... Wasn't that what Mario was called originally? Jumpman.
Oh, yeah, Jumpman, yeah. Bomber Guy, Diamond Miner.
So close.
Oh, Manic Miner.
Diamond Joe, or something like that.
It's Manic Miner. It's Miner Willie from Manic
that's
Miner.
That's not the one I was trying to think of, so it's going to
Is that half
me.
A point? Do we get half a point for that?
I'll give you half a point, yeah. No, the point is...
Actually, three quarters for you, because you got...
Also
half each, it makes it easier.
Also worth pointing out that this is Miner Willie... And from the first game, Manic Miner, not from the second one. Because in the second one, he's got a top hat because he's got loads of money. And this one, he's got his miner's helmet on with a lamp. That's what that's sticking
the
out.
Deep lore of Manic Miner.
I thought that was lore. Like 90s sticky up at the front haircut.
Yeah, no, me
no,
too.
It's a 1980s video. Right. Now, this one, I don't think you'll get it. I will... Because the t-shirt's kind of folded up, it made the writing hard to read, so I will read out what it says as well, okay? So, oh no, it's actually, it's unfolded a bit now, so I'll do that. I'm doing it the wrong way. Hang on, I'm going to try and...
Night has fallen, and the foul are abroad.
That's what it says, yep.
That does look vaguely familiar, but I know it's a game.
It's not Oregon Trail, obviously, but it does look...
Do you know what?
The only time I've ever heard anything about Oregon Trail is on people It's from people in America. Well, people on who say they're
American,
talking about nostalgia.
It was an American thing, yeah.
Talking about it on videos. I've never heard of Oregon Trail at the time.
I know that Anjun has shown me that game, so I think I've seen that game
on streams and videos. Definitely.
I quite like that game.
I'm talking about the one on the T-shirt.
Oh, no. Oh, the one on the T-shirt.
Yeah.
I like Oregon Trail. I get it. I kind of know what it is now because people fucking banging on about it, but...
It's on archive.org if anyone wants to.
It's a good game. It's an enjoyable game.
I'm sure it is. And it's definitely... is it from the 90s on PCs? Because it's got very early 80s vibe for home computers.
It's the American equivalent of Granny's Garden, basically.
Yes, I love Granny's Garden.
It's a game that was on all American PCs
Although Granny's Garden's a lot easier than Oregon Trail, I reckon.
Granny's Garden, a couple of friends and I replayed Granny's Garden quite recently, and it is quite disturbing.
It's quite weird. I remember it being very weird. Like a talking tomato chases you off the garden patch or something.
But no idea.
No idea.
I think it's an old timer.
That one's not. No, it's Lords of Midnight is the name of the game.
Lords of Midnight by...
I thought you were going to say it just then.
Mike Singleton.
Mike Singleton, yep. Well done. He was the late Mike Singleton. He made some amazing games. And Lords of Midnight, for anyone who doesn't know, Lords of Midnight is it's an epic game. It was on the ZX Spectrum, so it fit in 48K. It was an epic game where you had like a role-playing element, multiple characters, and a war game element to the whole thing. Mm. And a whole adventure going on as well. There was like an actual story and structure to it as well. It was how he came up with fitting all that together in a 1982 48K computer just bewilders. Yeah,
it's like Frontier that has like however many millions of stars or like star systems.
Well, there's a lot of procedural generation, and I suspect that's what happened to that as well. But how it keeps track of all the location, because it's like I think it's like a couple of thousand locations or something. How you keep track of that in that memory and everything is amazing. Very well done. But that was Lords of Midnight, the legendary Mike Singleton's Spectrum adventure war game thing. Well, that's the excitement over. Now let's talk about this episode of The Expanse.
Oh, wait, hold on. So I got two.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Drew...
No, what did I get? Did I get two and a half?
Two and a half. I'll count the Arch one.
Arch one you both got.
Did I get?
Do you want me to go through them again?
The first one was Alien,
with the logo from the titles.
Yeah, didn't really get
you that. Both got the Remember the Can't. You both knew that one. So that's one each.
You remember the Can't.
Oh, Remember the Can't, of course, yeah.
Arch, you both got that. That's two each.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get Lords of Midnight. Did somebody actually get... Is that the one you got the half a point for, Manic Miner?
Somebody got that.
The Aspen Beer one threw you completely.
Yes.
And that leaves Doc Holliday. I'm your huckleberry.
No, I think two and a half each.
Two and a half each, yeah. Well done. Anjun is still the winner.
We're barely half an Anjun each.
Yeah, barely half an Anjun. Well, who among us can even aspire to be half an Anjun, you know?
No.
Exactly.
Do you want other news? I've kind of bambled about this in text, but I'll announce it to the video as well, and see how this ages. I finally got a driving instructor, and I've applied. I've applied almost immediately. As soon as I got my license, I almost immediately applied for the theory test because that's what a smug prick I am, and I think I can do it. I've been studying for it. And I discovered, I'll moan about this. Do you want me to keep moaning about this? We want to do some expansion between?
No, we're going to moan. Let's go.
Right. Okay, well, the theory. So I've got my theory test on Friday this week.
Mm-hmm.
I got my license last week. So this is like, literally I immediately applied for it as quick as I could get it. I've been doing the studying for it. I'll get back to that in a second, complete with moans. I've been moaning to everybody about this. Like, I think Alan's fed up hearing me moan about this. I couldn't get a driving instructors are like backed up since COVID, apparently. which is crazy because it's 4 years now, but apparently that was what started it all off.
So expensive.
But there's so many of them as well. Yet still, they're all... So I finally got one. We had a slot. I think somebody had just finished, and he didn't have a... I think somebody on the waitlist had cancelled, and I'd caught him just at the right moment. So I got in, you know. And he has been... I was looking for all the ones that were top-rated on the government website because they've got, like, a rating thing where they voluntarily go back and get tested every X amount of time. But I'd sort of reduced my filters. But he is a qualified. He's fully qualified, and he has done like extra bits and stuff. So he's, you know, he seems good. So I'll be doing that starting Thursday evening. I've got like a 2 hour assessment lesson, and then Thursdays from 10 a.m. I'll be doing lessons from now on. Hopefully, hopefully if I pass the theory test on Friday, I will then apply for a test because they're also backed up. So you got to try and get a test as quick as you can, even if you're, you know, ages away from getting there.
Did you have to do a theory test, Drew?
No, that was
like
long ago, wasn't it? You did it.
No.
I think they came in the late 90s or the early 2000s, didn't they?
I think it was not long after I did my test where they brought in the theory, like a year or two at the most.
Earlier than that, then, yeah.
And when I was doing mine, they were bringing in the hazard perception, and I had to do a hazard perception, but it didn't get marked on my final result, and I would have failed if I didn't.
Right, well, let's talk about that. That's the bit I'm going to moan about, and I'll explain why fully and at length. Right, okay. Also, I think you guys have seen it. I'm not sure, but here we go.
Yeah.
Are you doxing yourself? You've done it.
Well, there's not much. I mean, it's got my date of birth and the full license. I just noticed my address is on the bottom of it. You're right.
Yeah. Anyway, you got to put up the segment bit now, haven't you?
Yeah.
That's a funny one.
But there you go.
That's a good picture.
Obviously, I've shaved since then. In fact, round about the same time that picture was taken, I've got like, the guy did like 8 of them. It was like a photography shop, and he just went, you know, took a picture, and you get like 8 of them. Where's my wallet?
I did mine
at
Timpsons. But with Timpsons, they load it onto the system for you, and they give you a code, and you just put the code in, and it's.
Oh.
But it's like I don't know. I can't remember.
This was like a tenner for
14
like,
quid or something.
This was a tenner for like I think 8 copies. Yeah. Don't know. I've still got the bag with all the others apart from the one I sent off. So I'll tell you in a second. I've got the receipt as well. $9.99 for taking a picture and then printing them out and. Cutting them up in frames. So, yeah, you're right. I might have to go and check that on the video. People can freeze frame videos, can't they?
I think it was fuzzy enough, or I guess maybe not your end where you're recording. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's the original picture, if I can get it to.
Anyway. Oh, that's a hearty beard.
It was getting too much. I couldn't manage it. One,
it was
two,
a love.
Three, four, five, six. So yeah, 8 copies of that. So anybody wants? Ah, there you go. I could offer signed photos as a prize.
We're doing merch now.
Oh, we are doing merch when I move. When I move, we are doing merch. When I get the new studio going, we're doing merch, and I'm doing prizes as well for people. Not in a, you know, not held to ransom, like, if you don't subscribe, you won't get this. I'm just going to do them, and hopefully people will feel, you know, generous enough to keep things going. Right, so this fucking theory test. Now, it's in two sections, as Chris sort of realised and pointed out there. One section, perfectly sensible. It is a large multiple choice, and you get, like, road markings, road signs, braking distances... you know, what the different crossings are, all that sort of stuff that you need to know, all very practical.
Although,
and sensible.
All the crossings all have like animal names, and it's like I don't understand why you need to know the animal names.
No, I know.
A pelican,
exactly.
As long as you know it's a crossing. Mongoose crossing.
Right, let's do a little mini quiz then, because
ocelot. There's an ocelot crossing. What the fuck
is that?
What, really?
I think I've come across that one.
I thought you were joking. Is mongoose a real one as well?
No, not monkeys. No.
Okay. Well, there's pelican and zebra.
I've been studying this, and there's only 4 I know of.
Well, I only know 2, and I don't know the difference.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So you got a zebra crossing, which is this, you know, the Abbey Road stripes on the road type deal. So there's no, you know, there's no lights or anything with that. Well, there's flashing lights.
Oh, I thought there could be. I thought there could be a buttony press.
No, that's a Pelican Crossing.
Fuck's sake! Pelican Why do crossing. They need different names? Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
Well,
it's a crossing.
Yeah,
you could call it a manual crossing or a think for yourself crossing. You know, like some kind of like this.
Yeah, there's one I do crossing. Like though. There's one I do like though, which is the Toucan Crossing. So toucan is in a bird.
That's it. Yeah,
because two different pedestrian.
Is that the one with the crossing island in the middle?
No, a toucan crossing is bicycles and pedestrians, so it's toucan cross. That's the way I remember it.
Hang on, there's types of crossings where bicycles can't go across?
You're supposed to get off your bike if you cross the road.
Oh yeah, no, you can still take... Okay, I see. So
yeah, you can take the bike. Yeah, obviously you can walk the bike across whatever you want. But you're not supposed to cycle across a crossing because you're going faster than a pedestrian. People might not have time to react, etc., etc. That's just common sense. So I knew that before I did any studying.
This is what happens when you pay civil servants too much money.
Well, a little bit of it. The one I don't... the Puffin Crossing, I can't fucking remember what that is, but I've studied it and I can't remember.
Well, that's homophobic.
Eh? Mm-hmm. A Puffin Crossing? How is that homophobic? I don't even get that joke. Is this some sort of kink thing that I'm not getting?
Just puff. It was just puff.
Oh, that's you being English, you see.
Oh, is that in English?
Did you see that post that I linked last night? I didn't repost it because some people get upset about the C word. But there was a bit of a conversation where people were joking about something. And they said they were talking about England being a fabrication. It was made up by big cunt.
Oh, I did
cunt.
See that, yeah.
It was made up
yeah,
by yeah, big yeah, cunt no, just that, to, yeah. make, big, to sell big, more big cunts. Cunt.
Sell more cunts, yeah.
Which I thought was funny, especially since neither of us are English, Chris. Yeah. Okay, so back to this test. So the practical, you know, the multiple choice thing, very practical, and they'll do like little clips and give you multiple choice after, you know, what signs did you just see? What did it mean? What, you know, the markings on the road, all very good, sensible stuff. Makes sense, all of it, pretty much. I've not seen anything on that side that's not. Now this the other one's a hazard perception test. Again, half of it is perfectly valid. Half of that is a similar sort of thing where you'll see clips and you have to tell, you know, react, not tell what the hazards were. However, there's a segment of the hazard perception test called the reaction test. And it is fucking bullshit. It is absolute bullshit and serves no practical purpose. None. It is quick.
What is it?
It's like quick time events. You're watching a video and you have to click the video. No, it doesn't stop or end, but what happens is there's a... I can show you, in fact. Hang on.
So what it does is it shows you...
You guys won't see it. That's the problem. I can show it in the video. Never mind.
It's like a dash cam.
It's very low res, grainy dash cam footage, at least in the... I've been assured that at the test, it's better quality video. But I'm not entirely convinced of that.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think I vaguely remember it being okay when I was there, but I don't know. It might have been new or something. But what you got to do, apparently, what I was told to do, and I don't know if they changed it since then, is you just have to click when you would change either the direction or speed of your vehicle.
Right, that's what they tell you. That's exactly what they tell you. Okay? So basically, it's a...
Oh, no. But the thing is, like, because I...
Is he
going to
steal my thunder?
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, you've got me started now. But, like, because there are a lot of country roads, there are deer that can just jump out of nowhere. There are sheep that can wander on. There are pheasants, and they're fucking dumb as shit. So when you see a hazard, like, you slow down a lot earlier.
Yep, exactly.
Hang on, wait. Do they penalise you for being too early?
This is how it works, Drew. This is how it works. They've got a video. Right, imagine the little timer bar you get on a video, on a video clip on PeerTube or YouTube or whatever. There's like a little bar from zero to whatever the length of the thing is. Somewhere on that bar, they will put one or two 5-segment boxes that you don't see them until afterwards. And you get either 5 points, 4 points, 3 points, 2 points, or 1 point for clicking at the right time, okay? And there's either one or two of them per video. I've never seen one with more than two. I've seen some with zero, because that's kind of a another.
hang on. Is there 5 points in the middle and then 4-3-2 outwards?
No.
No.
Okay. No. It's 5-4-3-2-1 in sequence. So if you click, no. Okay, let's just. I'll be fair to them, and I'll bullshit you the way they do it. If you click at the right time, you get 5 points. If you click slightly later, you get 4, and so forth. Mm-hmm. If you click early, 0.
So too early, 0.
After it, 0, which makes sense. After it is 0, that part makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough.
But as you say, there's no.
So you get points for being late,
but not for
but
being.
You get 0 points for being early.
For anticipating, yeah.
That's fucking stupid.
No, that is exactly. So also you're looking at a video in relatively low resolution, fuzzy and flat. In a car, you can see peripherally, you can see with binocular
and you've got
vision.
You've got a sense of depth
and stuff as well. Yeah. There's a few times where I've been penalised where like I've stopped the video to look at, I've like frame by framed it through to look and see what they're talking about, and it's literally been like 2 pixels. Like there's one where there's a car getting ready to pull out and it's like quite small on the screen, and it's meant to be, you're meant to notice the indicator, and it is like literally like a 2 pixel light in amongst other coloured bits, and it's.
But the thing is, as well, is that because of
I'm not
human
finished,
beings,
but on you go.
I always treat the indicator as just a suggestion. Mm. Like you don't take it as red. You don't like if you're coming out at a T junction and the car's coming across here and it's indicating to go like that way. You still sort of have to assume that that indicator could be on from a previous turning. They could be.
Exactly. When you're driving, you anticipate. So this reaction test is bought. So it's like a quick time event where you've got to click exactly the right time, give or take a few, you know, a fraction of a second or a couple of seconds, depending on the video. Right. Now, one of the biggest problems, one, it's entirely arbitrary way of determining whether somebody's right, because obviously it's a reaction time for clicking a mouse. Nothing to do with you. And it's like, here's a clip, now do this. It's not you're driving along paying attention and this is developing. It's instantly you're thrown into this situation. So it's bullshit for that and serves no practical purpose. The other thing is, you'll love this, Drew, that 5-point box, some people who set the questions put it in for exactly the same situation, different video, but exactly the same situation, will put that 5-point box to the left or to the right.
That's beautiful.
So you can click somewhere where you know exactly. Right, the one that pissed me off most recently that I can think of, there's two I can think of now. There's one where there's a flashing yellow light construction vehicle or something up the road, and you immediately would think, oh, there it is, right? And as Chris says, so, you know, in fairness to them, the rule of the video game, which has nothing to do with driving, the rule of the video game is to click when you would either change speed or change direction. Right, that's the rule. I was early the first couple of times. Then this question came up again. I was like, right, okay, I've not to react till I would actually hit the brake a bit or come off the accelerator a bit or steer. Right, that's the right. So I eventually cottoned on to that one, but it's still way off where I think it would be if I was, you know, if I was doing a test for somebody to where they react to it. I think it's bullshit. Anyway, the other one, though, we were just talking about livestock. There's one where there's a bunch of sheep in the road. Now, bear in mind that the key thing here to remember is these videos are fairly low resolution and very fuzzy.
Did it turn out to be a cloud?
No. No, not that bad. No, there are sheep. No, but they expect these people on this video, instead of you to click when you saw the sheep, because, you know, I clicked when I saw the sheep. I said, oh, the sheep coming. Apparently, about 3 seconds earlier, there was sheep shit on the road. It could have been stones. It could have been shadow. It was absolutely indecipherable. And they've also done it with road markings at the side of the road where they say, oh, you should have known that was happening, because it's like, that's a white pixel and some dirt over it. How, you know... You know, again, the thing that gets me about it is they expect you to spot things on a video when you would have binocular vision and peripheral vision. You would see a sign.
Also, if the sheep shit's in the middle of the road, like the wheels aren't going over it, also.
I don't think it's about skidding. It's about being aware that there's sheep coming. But I was aware that there was fucking sheep.
Wait,
because
the sheep shit is supposed to be a clue
that there might be animal. No. In the anticipation videos, that's fine. You ask me that, and I'll go, oh yeah, there might be you know, sheep up or livestock up ahead. In the reaction video, you're not allowed to react. In one video where they've got a very, very similar video, they've got, you're not allowed to react until you see the sheep because you're coming around a gentle bend and all the sheep slow down. But in that video, they wanted you to react as soon as you saw the sheep shit on the road.
Hang on, I can't remember. Do you have to pay for your driving test?
Fuck yes.
Yes.
Okay, now everything makes sense.
Oh, yeah. The questions quite often as well, the questions are worded in a way to try and trip you up as well. There's a lot of that where they say, you know, they'll have a couple of things about deceleration or acceleration or braking, and you know, and they'll word it so you go, oh fuck, no, they meant the other way around.
So it's a driving and misleading question.
Money, mate. Yeah, there's quite a few misleading ones. Yeah. But
I do think some of these things, I think sometimes when there are systems like this, what they're actually for is situations where the driving instructor, where you've like a person has technically passed the test, but the driving instructor's like got a sense like I would not trust this dude on the road. Like
paying attention to the multiple choice properly, I think is kind of fair. It's a wee bit sneaky.
No, I mean more like it's just an arbitrary thing where you could just fail somebody and go, just like I had a feeling about them. Like technically they passed everything.
And this is to let them have
they were a woman or something.
But a woman or... Yeah.
Or a puff.
Or like Asian.
Whatever
Asian,
puff is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
too poor.
Gay.
Yeah, we've had that puff. You already say puffing, didn't you? Say that was bad.
This is
you call me
homophobic
for talking at a puffing crossing. Oh god. What was I saying? There was one more thing I was going to say just to finish it off. I can't remember now. Fuck it. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It costs money. Yeah. It's £23 for a theory test, and I think it's about 60 or 70 or something for the
the con of the actual practical test is like because you've got to pay for your learner vehicle if you're doing it in your learner vehicle, so if you're like going to a driving instructor and you're learning in their car, you've got to like basically pay for the time of the car as well as the test.
I just assumed that you did it in a car that they had at the test center.
My dad used to tell me about his driving test. So my dad was born in mid-40s, so his driving test was like very early 60s, I think. And his driving test, he was sitting there waiting in the car, driving instructor turned up, got in, said, sorry, I'm quite drunk, so let's keep this short. and he just went, go forwards up the road a bit, reverse up the road a bit, and I'll pass you. And that was his driving test.
My granddad had a very similar driving test as well. Just like drive up and down a lane for a bit.
Yeah, they've thought about it a bit more since, I think.
One thing I
already knew this from being a passenger in vehicles anyway, you know, being in buses and cars as a passenger and stuff, is that there's a lot of arseholes on the road. But those videos, even in those videos, that like where they're showing you, the person that's driving the car is doing the right thing, but Jesus, there's some arseholes. But I've got to keep my cool. I've got to learn to keep my cool because that's part of the test and the practical is not going,
yeah.
Fuck's sake, arseholes.
I always remember, what I do is whenever someone does something daft on the road, I always try and remember the last time I did something daft on the road. We all make the mistakes.
People make mistakes, but you could, let's be honest, sometimes given the vehicle
aggressive.
And the person that you see, you know that that's an arsehole. Like we had a Cado driver, there's like a little narrow lane just along there where people park all at one side. And we were going down it, and the van was coming. Now, van, you know, a lorry is harder for them to stop and start on a hill, that's fine. But we were coming down, and there was a space to the left. There was a space between cars, like maybe two car lengths to the left. And he kept going past that and expected us to go to the right into somebody's drive. And he wouldn't, you know, obviously he couldn't back up by then because he was driving a fucking lorry anyway. But, I wish I'd taken a picture of the license and complained about it because he deliberately kept going and pushing. It wasn't like he couldn't sort of slow down. If he slowed down a bit, the traffic flow would have been perfect. It would have been him coming up at a steady pace and us just weaving in out the way and him going by. But he smart arsed it and pushed past, you know, one or two more car lengths just to make, you know, make a point or whatever. So then we had to go into a driveway, nose first, and then we had to come back out into this narrow lane with traffic trying to go both ways on a single single space. Backwards, you know, and it was like, you come. I really wish I'd thought about it at the time, taking a picture of his license and complaining about him, because it was right in as much as, you know, there's no right of way as such, but he was right in as much as, yeah, you would give way for a heavy vehicle coming up a hill. That makes sense. But there was no need for him to push his way past that last little bit where we could have pulled in. It was just dickery. Absolute dickery. Anyway. So, I'm going to be calm.
Yeah. And also, if they're driving a white Range Rover, they're almost certainly a awful person. Yeah.
Any kind of Range Rover, not
any kind of Range
Rover
is bad.
Not near a farm. No. Fair enough. You're just a fairly wealthy farmer. But anywhere,
Well, there is a guy that drives a Range Rover down at the end of the road here, or Land Rover, Range Rover. I get them mixed up. But that's because he used to own a garage where he sold them.
It's like, the thing that gets me is that Range Rovers are, when the weather's nice, like this time of year, they only make driving country roads more difficult because they're so wide. Like, you want a narrow car when you're squeezing past other cars. Like, it's...
Oh, I get it when it's... Country roads in a hatchback? Like, a fucking joy.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a tiny little hairdresser.
Must be at night, at night, you know, like 15 miles away if somebody's coming the other way because you see the light. Like, you can just burn it.
Round deer, like, deer could jump out at you in the night.
Right.
Yeah, we've got a lot of livestock here. Right. So, talking about what was the other thing? Oh, yeah. The other thing we get a lot of around here is. No, I'm going to say women, but this isn't about women because, you know, it just happens to be that the women are the ones who are more likely to be around doing it. But there's women who are obviously very uncomfortable driving a large 4x4 type vehicle. I mean, you can see it in their face that they're really uncomfortable, and they're always fucking out of school picking up one kid and clogging up the streets.
Do kids not walk to school anymore?
No,
we used to walk.
No, they don't. No.
I know old man yells at cloud and that, but everybody's so terrified that a paedophile's going to steal their child the second they're not fucking, like, keeping track. Like,
yeah, and
it's better
if there was a whole procession of them going down the street.
Taken by paedophiles.
I knew he was going to go there.
Then get taken by Range Rovers.
Exactly.
Because they're dangerous. You drive in a Range Rover, like, they're so high, you're knocking over about three kids every time you pick up little Jimmy from ballet practice or whatever,
But no, you see that there's two schools particularly where people... Now, I used to live on the estate opposite one of these schools, so I know that these people will go around, like, three streets deep with their cars at school clinic. And literally, they'll pick up one kid.
Yeah,
and then, you know, and you see like 50 cars over the estate.
My entire school career, I was either walking to school or school bus. Like, if you're far enough away, to need to
most
drive,
of the,
you get a
most
school
of
bus.
Them aren't. People drive everywhere around here.
Again, I think they're scared the kids are going to get, like, stolen or run over, or
bleed on the bus laziness. By the paws.
On the paws, yeah. But,
like, that's a big thing around here. There's a very middle class snobbery thing around. This is an area that sort of alternates between Lib Dem and Conservative a lot. There is a bit of Labour, but mostly. So it's very fucking NIMBY, and I'm not poor. I'm a temporarily embarrassed millionaire. You know, it's that kind of attitude that they've got. You know, that bullshit that Ed Davey, I don't know if you saw this last week, Ed Davey was banging on about headphones on buses. You know, people listening to music on buses. That's fine. You know, yeah, it is. It's an issue. I agree. You know, people... it's a wee bit annoying, but it is that. It's just a little annoying inconvenience. It's not a fucking big issue for a supposed major political party to be talking about when we've got literally people dying from poverty, cold, and illnesses. You know, it's but it's for the Lib Dems, and
it'll feel uncomfortable on public transport.
Yeah, so. that's true. But it will win votes. That will win votes at the local elections.
Yeah, it will win my vote.
You did boost it, didn't you?
Yeah. No.
Or you boost. See, I boost these things, but I get it.
Children in Africa, yada yada yada. But
children in Africa, yada yada.
Yeah.
Very annoying being on a bus.
But this is not a middle class issue because middle class people do not take the bus. So
they do when they're temporarily poor.
I'll let you know when I said. But like, no, for reals, right? Those people. I think £1,000 fine is far too low. They can't afford it anyway. Just literally, just throw them off the bus. Maybe.
It's not something I encounter. But can because we?
The
can
thing
we...
Is, it, but it also, it's okay. It's symbolic. It's symbolic of the I don't give a shit about myself mentality.
I agree with that very strongly. Yeah.
It's the same kind of people that, like, the first sunny day of the year, and they're blaring fucking basic bitch music out of their windows.
Oh, I kind of like that.
And walking about with these things blasting at full volume as well.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, sorry, it's just pollution. Like,
the cars, I don't mind, because the cars, it's temperate. It goes past. It's temporary.
Yeah. No, the cars is fine. It's temporary.
Can we have Hamish's impersonation of what the headphone thing sounds like when you're on the bus again? Because that was really fucking good.
I just went.
But no. Loud headphones are fine. It's when they're playing it off the.
Oh, that's bullshit. That is antisocial. Yeah, sure.
That's what they're talking about. Right, loud headphones. Fucking fine. We've had that for decades.
Yeah. No, I've always wore.
Get the phone.
You know when people used to walk about with like in-ear buds or the little the headphones that Drew was talking about recently, the little Walkman style ones. I've always worn full. Enclosed headphones and the driver looks at you like fucking. And I've had a few drivers when I was younger say, "Oh, set a few seats back if you're going to be that." Nobody can fucking hear it. I've got great fucking enclosed headphones, you pricks.
I think the driver should be entitled to throw somebody off if they're playing something on their phone.
That's just the modern equivalent
of like the 80s ghetto blaster on your shoulder.
Seriously, it is a problem. Like the number of times I've been on a bus or a train is a lot of it's with a train, and it's like someone's just playing it off the loudspeaker on their phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You get people doing that.
That's where the £1,000 fine comes in. Now on the headphones, that's one of the things is that it's we live in an age where headphones are affordable. And are readily available, and you can, you know, like,
yeah, if you can afford one of these, you can afford a set of headphones.
Apart from just being fucking annoying, which is enough, and antisocial, like, also anybody who, you know, suffers from like sensory overload, or I mean, me with my anxiety, yep, it would be great
yep.
for that.
Like, yeah, yeah. I'm actually, I'll tell you a couple of stories about that from recently, just to pad out this even more and moan at stuff. The sensory overload thing. I was at a card game place last Wednesday, and the walls are all bare, so it's very echoey, and there was a lot of people, and it just got louder and louder, and I was freaking out, and it was also a hot night as well. It was really hot. I was just totally overwhelmed and couldn't cope with it. Another one, I was at open mic, you know, doing the guitar and singing thing a couple of weeks ago, and there was these two girls. I say girls, they were like in their 30s. But they were acting like teenage kids, and they were suddenly jumping and going and shit. And even the barmaid, you know, fucking stopped that, you know. But it made me like, Jesus, what's that? You know, it's like, you know, I get that overload thing, yeah. So I have to remember to tell my driving instructor all these things, or else he's gonna think I'm mental. know in advance that I'm mental.
You're probably far from the most mental person that they've ever had in their car.
Probably far from the most mental person they've had in their car today.
Yeah, because the thing is as well, Hamish, is that you are a man that is over 25.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, despite your youthful appearance. But, like these driving instructors, they teach like 17-year-olds. Like, trust me, you'd like...
And I don't know about you two, but at 17, I was a twat.
Oh, yeah, I was an arsehole.
Okay, all right, this is super boomer time now. But like 17-year-olds today are like, they're like, they struggle making a phone call. You know, like they're just gonna shut down in a car, like, you know. Don't worry, you'll be fine. You just, as long as you keep the shouting under control.
Yeah. That's my anxiety and my anger. That's the two things I've got to worry about. Get
like a soft cotton handkerchief and just put it in your mouth.
Pretty agile. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. Thanks very much. Yeah, so let's...
Oh God, I'm
this has
so
been...
glad I don't have to learn to drive anymore. This is. Yeah. Do you know? I reckon.
Well, hopefully this will all be over within a couple of months, and I'll start just doing it through experience and not have to worry about tests and stuff. You know,
we're going to have some good podcast anecdotes of driving madness.
Well, this is it. Like I say, it'll be interesting to see in a little while how this part of the video has aged and how I've done it. Both the theory tests,
I'm sure you're doing perfectly well.
The lessons and stuff. You know,
I have 100% confidence that you'll. Yeah.
I do remember the one thing I remember from driving before. I mean. My now ex-wife, she was obviously my wife at the time. She didn't randomly turn up to give me driving lessons. My now ex-wife had an automatic car, so I remember driving around and doing some driving and that with her as there. But what I remember from before that, from when I was a few years younger than that, doing actual lessons, was that I was fine with the gears because I could, I could tell I was pretty, it was quite intuitive to me that the revs and the gears, that seemed sensible. Mm. But the problem I had was coming down gears because when you're getting to a point where you're like at a junction or a roundabout or something, you're thinking about a bazillion other things, steering, being looking around at all the mirrors and everything, and then that thing, clutching this thing, to a different place, and sometimes they want you to jump two gears at a time because you've
you're allowed to do that on the test now, because when I was learning, you had to go. The thing that got me is you got to go. Oh, I've got to go from fourth to third to second.
Oh,
to first.
Right. Okay.
And it's like, to be honest, nowadays I go from fourth to second to neutral.
Yeah, it makes sense. But so that was, it was the overwhelmingness of the whole situation plus trying to go back down the gears. So,
I will say, I think this is one thing America's got right: is just make all cars automatic.
Yeah,
will be. I reckon in about 5 years when we're all driving electrics.
Well, the thing is, there's two. We have two cars. Me and Alan, we've got my mum's old car, which is a Mini Cooper Clubman, which is it's got a really long wheelbase, so they call it a Mini, but my mum had a Mini when I was a teenager, and this is a fucking Mini. This thing's, it's like a normal size car.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, they call it a Mini, but it's vaguely shaped like one in places, and it's, it's got a lot of cool features, even though it's a bit six. What is this? Six, I'm trying to think of the registration because that tells you the age, doesn't it? Yeah, it's about six, 5.5 years old. So it doesn't have some of the features. It's not got the little cameras for parking. It doesn't have those, but it's got like built-in sat nav and everything in the little computer. Mm. And it's also got a cool feature, which is only partially implemented in my opinion, which is if you're coming to the back of the car to open the back doors. The back doors are those little swing open ones. It's that kind of thing. Instead of a thing. But if you click a wee button, the door opens. One of the doors opens by itself. Which is cool, but it doesn't shut by itself.
Why?
Well, because if you're carrying shopping, it's convenience. It's convenience.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's not a big. But it's got a lot. But the point is, if they're going to do that, then why not make it shut as well? I can answer that from an electronic and mechanical point of view. Yes, I can answer that. But
well, can't they sort of just buy a small Asian slave child and put it in the boot, and he can like hop out and close your door for you?
You'd need a special roof. That would cause drag when you've got a boot full of stuff. It would be causing drag. Well, I suppose they could have a little cargo net on the back.
Cling onto the bottom of the car while it's in motion.
That would cause drag as well. They'd have to cling to the back. Cargo net.
If you wore like a rigid cape.
Oh, to give you aerodynamicism, yeah.
To make it smooth, yeah. Also, I think you want a bit of drag on the bottom of the car, otherwise... It launches. It'll go into space.
That's true.
So you don't believe in planes, but you do believe in flying cars.
A car, if the bottom is smooth enough and you go fast enough, will go into space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But planes.
Also, somebody in your Discord, by the way, chaps, didn't believe that we record this in space.
No.
I said, of course we do. It's for authenticity. We have to.
I mean, look out the fucking window, idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're floating.
So I was floating, yeah.
With apparently no impetus, so thereby breaking the laws of physics. Oh, Jesus. Right, but let's talk about the Expanse just for it. Right.
All right.
The one thing I will say, I knew this in advance, that it was not going to be a very... It wasn't going to be... Actually, this bit, the middle of the series has got this anyway, but for a few episodes, as we know. It's a very
Naomi.
It's a very Naomi episode, yeah. So, and I don't think... I think it could have been, again, it could have been sort of interweaved a bit better.
Well, I think...
Because there are a few,
it's finally got to the point. Yeah. It's finally got to the point with Naomi. The Naomi thing is happening now. But before that, we've had the same fucking scene about 15 times.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where it's her talking to Philip or talking to the beardy fella just and being sad. Like, we've had that scene, I feel like, one zillion times.
Yeah, it does feel very repetitive.
Do you know what I thought would have been a real... Because the thing is, I thought that a possibility... There's a distinct... There's a possible,
I forget. I sometimes forget Chris hasn't seen it before.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this show, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what she was going to do when she launched out at the end was just going to blow the whole thing up and, like, kill herself or something.
Oh,
like, I don't know. And I thought, oh, that would be so brave.
Well, we are supposed to think that she's trying. We are supposed to think from the story that we got. Again, that story was in the same episode. That's very Doctor Who writing that. You know, fucking the lazy new Doctor Who. I mean, not putting something in subtly and letting it happen. It's like 5 minutes before we told you that she almost. We can't hear you, by the way, Drew. No. Nothing. Oh, no. You're muted on the software. I can see it on the software.
On the Jitsi, yeah.
Yeah. There you go, buddy.
I pressed buttons by accident when I was being very animated.
Ah, right. Ah. You were being Magnus Pike. Yeah. Do you get Magnus?
But that's
is that a reference you get, Chris? Magnus Pike?
I don't get that.
No. Oh, you don't get it? It was a sort of science explainer guy from the TV in the 70s. But it was very animated with his hands. No. Oh wow. Oh no, I'm really old then. Fucking hell. It's very rare for me to have something that Drew doesn't have. That's interesting.
So I would have thought on episode 7, right, of a 10 episode series, they not only kill off Naomi, but also they kill Philip and Marco and Aris. Like, I thought, and then suddenly some out-of-pocket shit happens in 8, 9, and 10.
That would be great. That would be great, yeah.
That would have retroactively made it amazing.
The episodes I like in this season were the Earth episodes, I was really hoping this would be an Earth episode, and then, like, the first couple of seasons, I was like, it's just going to be fucking Naomi the whole time, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the characters either. It's just, as you say, it's very repetitive. But this episode, though, more than anything, as you say, it does kind of start to go somewhere. It's the kind of Luke Skywalker... turn to the dark side or the light side type story. Mm. You know, will Philip side with his dad or will he realise that his dad's maybe been lying to him quite a bit about his mum and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I mean, I feel kind of bad that Naomi killed that guy, but then again, she couldn't back out once she'd started, so...
I mean,
poor bugger, she smacked him with a wrench before that as well. And
probably would have died for that.
Yeah, exactly. Brain damage and stuff.
Especially in space with the clotting issue.
Yeah, all sorts of things. Yeah.
I feel like.
We've jumped right to the very end again, haven't we? Because we're talking about Naomi jumping.
It's the only interesting bit.
Yeah, well, Naomi, we're talking about Naomi jumping out of a spaceship.
Should we knock out the other interesting bit? I've probably missed bits of this, so maybe this isn't actually interesting. I've just missed an essential bit of information. But when the Rocinante.
Oh, well, these probably are interesting bits, yeah.
Yeah. The Rocinante and Holden is speaking with Alex and Bobby on the Razorback /
Screaming Firehawk.
Remark that the delay is a lot shorter than it is.
Than
they
expected,
So Alex is saying, oh, they can't possibly be on Tycho or near Tycho because the delay is too long. And then Holden's saying, like, he couldn't possibly... I thought you were still on Mars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they both are misjudging where each other is by the sounds of it.
That's right, yeah.
Now, and I was thinking, what could be the explanations here, right? Now, I'm sure there are clues that I've missed that have set this up. But it could be that one of them is that... Could it be possible that Marco Inaris's fleet is somehow relaying the data in a way that makes it faster, but also... like
spying on it, or could it be? Well, my first
physics is pretty solid in this show, so I think
they don't have like a long cat cable that goes across. It's,
the universe is shrinking.
Yeah, well, that was my first thing. Is the solar system shrinking?
No. I think it's just been so long since we watched the last three episodes. So, the Screaming Firehawk was following those Martian ships that were doing the nasty out to the asteroid belt. And I don't think this is shown, but Jim presumably is following the ship that stole the proton.
Yeah, they're both basically heading towards the same place.
Yeah. So Holden's not on Tycho and Firehawk's so
they
not
both,
on Mars.
Yeah, they both left where they were.
They're both,
and they okay, that's, yeah. Because
remember, that's it.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we,
And also, they were talking about, so there's also Cortazar and the remaining protomolecule sample.
Mm.
And the journalist lady was talking about how
Monica.
Cortazar's useless without the...
And Jim was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, did Jim not fucking know that? That seems fucking obvious. Mm. That seems... Mm. I didn't get that. Because, and also, I swear in previous episodes, it's like Jim acted like he understood that.
Yeah.
They've got both of the parts they need, essentially.
Yeah. They've got the research scientist.
That was weird.
And the protomolecule sampling.
Who has both of the parts they need, right?
Marco.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Is it Marco? Because he never talks about it.
No, it is just Marco. He has talked about it. Again,
yeah,
it's been a while.
He set up the theft from Tycho and killed. Because he talks about killing. Oh, my God.
Cortazar?
No. I forgot his fucking name. The guy that died. Fred Johnson. He talks about killing Fred Johnson. Oh, yeah. He's proud of it, you know.
Mm.
And also, previously, a while ago now, but we knew that... who kidnapped Cortazar originally? Was it
Anderson.
Anderson Dawes. Yeah, I thought so. And then he delivered... But there is mention that he's delivered him to Marco.
Well, originally Fred Johnson kidnapped him. And then Anderson Dawes kidnapped him off Fred Johnson.
Yeah.
And then Johnson kidnapped him back. And then he's done the rounds.
Right. I suppose Fred did kidnap him in the first place. But that was, you know, yeah.
There was one other interesting thing.
It's who's the good guys, Chris... who's not. It's from our point of view.
Hang on a minute. So Cortazar was taken from Dawes.
No, Cortazar was right. So Cortazar was originally taken from his research station by
Fred Johnson. Yeah.
And then he was kidnapped by Dawes. And then
Johnson got him back, didn't he? Or did
I don't remember that.
Or did Marco steal him off the Dawes?
I don't remember.
No,
Marco stealing him. Marco stolen him off the Dawes. Then?
Took him from Dawes. I don't know if he took him from Dawes or if Dawes gave him up. I'm not entirely sure. I think he might have gave him up to get him away from their, because they were Dawes was being pursued
to not get killed, like,
to not get
Johnson
caught,
got killed,
basically. With
So was Dawes more concerned about getting Cortazar away from Johnson than actually making use of Cortazar? Like because it's known that you need both Cortazar and the
you need somebody that understands the protomolecule as well as the protomolecule, because you need somebody that understands
if you gave him up to an arrow,
things like the technology they use to weaponize it and maybe
he figured that the chances of Cortazar going back to
that point. I think at the point at which Dawes stole Cortazar off Johnson, I don't think Johnson had I don't think anybody had protomolecule at that point.
Yeah, I think it was Naomi. There was one secret. Bit hidden.
It was after that Naomi sent it to
and revealed. Johnson. Yeah, she revealed that she had not destroyed it, and that then she sent it on to Johnson. Yeah.
I think I'm not 100% on that.
The chronology is a wee bit fuzzy now because it's been a while.
Yeah,
hang on. Ah,
I think is interesting. I think Chris will find more interesting than Hamish potentially. But Elida Sedai of the Red Arja turns up in a startling crossover.
Wait a minute. Which part?
Abisarala.
Oh. Sorry, I thought it was a different Red Arja person.
Whoever she is. Yeah, she's in Wheel of Time as well. So Chris and I have been watching Wheel of Time.
But wait, hang on. Where does Avis Rella show up?
Only briefly on a screen in the Firehawk, I think.
Talking to Bobby.
Yeah, because to be honest, when I watch Wheel of Time, I'm thinking it's Avis Rella, not...
Absolutely.
Because she's the same character in both as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that'd be spoilers. But
yeah, but... similar like character presence.
I mean, with her demeanor and voice, you can kind of only be she can never be like, you know, like homely grandmother with that fucking voice.
No, I guess not.
I mean, maybe. But... Actors can surprise you.
I mean, she might be like, but it's like Michelle Fearley, who did Catelyn Stark on Game of Thrones. Yeah. Like, all the roles that I've seen her in since then have all been like evil stepmother kind of roles. It's like,
yeah.
I feel like she's kind of hard done by, but then again, she's getting good work. But like,
she was one of the weaker actors in that.
I don't think so.
I think Michelle Fearley was good.
I
think she gave, you know, she gave a good performance, showing that she cared deeply about all her children and her husband, but thought, you know, obviously...
It was a bit stagey for me.
I got the confliction there, like, inside herself.
Oh, God, yeah, I got that. But I think, it came across a bit stagey, is basically it.
I finished my sentence, sorry. I was talking about her different way of dealing with John, was it? Hopefully people understood that.
Because there was a lot of symbolism in that relationship in and of itself as well.
And given later revelations that she might have known some stuff about as well, it's kind of, you know, there's a lot going on there.
I do kind of find it a bit odd that she didn't know, like... He could have told Catelyn Stark, right? Like, about where he came from.
It's very much a situation where she's blaming the wrong person. But
essentially, yeah.
But she kind of knows that though as well.
I think she knows that her husband's loyalty is divided, and I think she knows that he's putting this story up to protect other people. I think she knows that much. But not,
and I suppose that makes you feel very disrespected as a wife, then. Really,
yeah, I'm sure.
It's like, oh, my husband can't even be honest with me, even if
he's not done the honourable thing.
What does that say about me?
Yeah, but he hasn't, and that's the point. You know, that's the thing. And I think she was
fucking annoying. So, you know, fair.
Yeah, but also Ned Stark, right? Not actually the best guy. I mean, I think the story is told from the perspective of the Starks.
Well, it's also he's noble to the point of dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
To his own detriment as well.
Yeah.
Inflexible. Mm. Is Chris frozen or is he very pensive?
No, he's gone. We're getting the. He's got a new picture with his haircut already as well. I noticed.
Oh, hang on a minute! That picked it up from somewhere.
Did it?
I think
what you get for using spyware-filled programs.
Yeah, it picked up my photo from some. Damn it!
It's probably.
I'm on the Skynet.
You're on lots of stuff, though, aren't you? I was going to say, there's a couple that I'm at, like. I signed up like a bazillion years ago for what I think it's called Gravatar.
I'll go,
wait a minute, I didn't set an icon for that, but it's got my icon, and it's like, fuck it.
Actually, to be fair, I'm not on that many big tech things. I'm on a Google and a Discord.
If you're on Google, you're on a bazillion things.
Well, YouTube's Google.
Yeah, if you're on Google, you're on a million things, you know?
But they'll shut those down in a few weeks.
Speaking of horrific organizations, have you seen some of the shit that Meta's been pulling? Facebook people. No.
Meta, you mean?
Meter. Unit of length.
No, that would be a meter. With an R. Don't start being English at me,
Meta.
Chris.
Fucking Meta, learn the Queen's fucking English.
I can speak English, don't
what
you?
What the fuck
fucking
are you
worry?
Talking about?
You slag.
I don't understand a fucking word you're saying.
Anyway, okay, Facebook people. They've done this thing where they got found out using basically slave labor in an African country. So they shut it all down, like, immediately, and moved it to somewhere else, to a different. I think they moved it to Ghana from somewhere else, and it's a secret location where they're doing it, and that's like they're like or I think it's the moderation and organizing, you know, that sort of admin-y sort of stuff. And they,
see, that's kind of interesting because now Mark Zuckerberg's anti-woke now, and you think, well, why not use slave labor? Be like, you know, like,
well, it's an, they're not woke. America's, you know, never got rid of slavery. Well, it never has. They just put more black people into prison and use them in work for work there. That's essentially what's
happening.
Also,
we just do it further away now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, yeah, there was an interesting post. I think I boosted it on Feddy the other day. And it was somebody was sort of, I think she said, the woman said it was just like late night, you know, wonderings when her brain was sort of idling or whatever. And one of the things she said, well, it made me think of some song lyrics, actually, which I need to write down before I forget them. But she was talking about how basically if you're working, right, and paying your taxes, you're giving money to people who are killing children abroad. That's essentially what paying tax is, you know?
Mm. So she's an anarchist now.
Well, that's one of the reasons
we shouldn't have an army. Pardon?
We shouldn't have an army.
That's one of the reasons we just shouldn't have an army. No. Yeah.
That's colonialist.
Do you think we can get away with not having an army?
100%, yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, at worst, a country who could have invaded us will, but they could have anyway, and it will just be with less death.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
Drew's got his eye on the French.
I would rather. I mean,
Ghost is going to come in and invade you.
Yeah, I'd rather. For example, if the French took us over, I'm French now. Okay, I don't fucking care.
Well, we're already colonized people, so I'd rather be. It looks good.
I want a bit of that.
Yeah.
Sure, but then, I mean, yeah, it makes a lot more sense to me that we have a European army as opposed to national army.
No, because they'll just have a
Again, it'll be used for neoliberal nonsense.
Yeah,
I'd
rather have a European army. Prior to Ukraine, I'd rather have a European army than each individual country having its army, just because that's a safer thing for internal relations in Europe. But it's also, that's an army big enough that they can do the bullshit that America does. And
exactly, yeah.
And then they're just funneling money to BlackRock and Lockheed Martin. And
that as well, yeah. And also, yeah, just... Yeah.
And the death.
Also the death is a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just one country needs to start it. Just get rid of their army. Because we only need an army.
Well, if you look at,
got an army.
If you look at, yeah, exactly. If you look at some countries, they've got a very different way of doing things. Like Switzerland's a good example, and quite a few of the Scandinavian countries do a very similar thing, where people are basically trained in guerrilla warfare to protect their own land, essentially, by the government. Yeah. You know, so they're not in the army; they're not conscripted. They're trained, and then. You know, that's it. They're not sent abroad to kill for some American oil interests or something, or to kill children because it suits some other businessman somewhere. You know, it's
you just do guerrilla studies in school.
Yeah, well, you're literally
in terms of getting
Scotland,
an army,
that would fit Scotland perfectly because we've got the terrain for it as well.
What country would be worse to govern us now than Starmer? I think there's about three.
Russia, maybe?
Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
Russia.
Any of the rich Middle Eastern countries are all cunts. So.
Afghanistan, Taliban.
Yeah.
Iran with its theocracy, yeah. But mind you, if Iran took us over, I think there'd be enough revolutionary... We'd sort of just help the
internal revolution of Iran would accelerate.
India?
India's government's not good, is it, at the moment? No.
I forgot they'd slipped a lot.
But the rest, other than America. I mean, America would be a wash, but we'd just be American then.
America's worse.
Yeah. But there aren't many European governments that would make anything worse for us, you know?
Yeah. Just, I'm German now, or I'm Italian now. Okay, cool. Bueno. Yeah. I should say, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, of course, we've been Roman before, haven't we?
Mm.
I'm not sure. I've never done any of those genealogy DNA test things, so I could. I mean,
oh, we've all got a bit of Roman in us.
Looking at
well, no, the Romans, you know, the Romans didn't interbreed much. The Romans kind of came over. I mean, there was some fucking happened.
Yeah, come on.
They sort of come on. Some suave Italian lads. I'm not come saying over. You I'm don't think saying, the women are going to be like.
I'm not saying no fucking happened whatsoever, but they didn't sort of settle and remain here. They came here, settled for a bit, and then kind of went home.
Yeah, but they might have left little presents behind, you know.
Oh yeah, a few little yeah.
But I mean, I'm too tall. I'm too tall for certain Scottish lineages for sure. Because the Picts is it the Picts that are quite they were quite sure. I think the Picts. I might be wrong. The Gaels.
Also,
and Gauls,
that might be Norman propaganda or Roman propaganda.
That's true, actually. Yeah, maybe I've just
that is actually I mean that is a real thing because none of the Celtic cultures had. Writing on paper, at least. I think some of them have writing systems, but it was generally.
We can barely write now, mate. Look at me and Chris. Yeah. We're struggling with this.
Literally every recorded bit of information we've got about the Celts is from the Romans, who were propagandizing hard. Yeah.
True. But you know, Scotland's got a big mix. So there could be Scandinavian. I don't know though. I'm very dark, so that's possible. But that's not impossible either. But yeah, you know. So there could be Scandinavian, there could be like more ancient lineages in there, like, you know, Picts and the Gaels and all that sort of thing. What's the other big one? God, my Scottish history's slipping. What was the other one? The Picts and the Scots, of course, the Scots as well. Duh.
Well, Scots are just Irish.
Yeah. Well, Gaels are from all on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's all from, yeah. North of Ireland.
Scotland, north of England, Ireland and Wales. You know, we were all on the one side, you know. And then fucking
London. We should build a tri bridge over Ireland, Scotland and Wales.
That's it. And then we can just build a wall all the way down.
And then maybe a roof.
And get the English to pay for it. Sorry, wait a minute. That sounds like something's happened before. You know?
Now, to be honest, I think the path of least resistance is just to dig a big trench around the southeast.
The second Offa's Dyke.
Yeah.
You've seen Offa's Dyke, by the way.
I haven't.
Yeah, no, I've walked along Offa's Dyke.
Offa's Dyke was a landwork created to keep the English out of Wales, and then you go and visit it, and it's like a trench this deep and a wall this high. Yeah. Like the English weren't trying very hard.
Offa's Dyke, right? Okay. So it's not. This isn't an LGBTQ thing, then. It's not.
No. She sounds awesome, though.
No. We just got the lesbians to dig the trench.
Make a historical film where you've got Offa and Offa's Dyke. You just send her out to combat.
My apologies. I should never encourage Drew with these kind of.
These summon things. My Dyke. The English are invading.
Mercia and the Dyke. That's a huge Dyke. Between Paris and Mercia, you know.
Writes itself.
It does. Oh dear, fair enough. Try to find the right thing, then I'm back. Well, basically we've covered the other two big points that happen in the show already.
Well, I did have a thought, may I?
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
So I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it with regards to Marco Renaris. This came up in discussion with Ghosty. So shout out Ghosty.
Hey Ghosty.
So they're trying to make Marco Renaris like
louder.
Ambiguous. they're trying to make him ambiguous in terms of like, is he a terrorist or is he a freedom fighter? And you can kind of go either way on that. But then they're also keeping him as the villain. That is the target for the goodies in the show, and I don't think those things
and the relationship between him and Naomi paints him as the bad guy emotional one to get straight to people's little heartstrings.
They're making him like politically you can reasonably side with him right, but then they're making him a villain interpersonally, and I think that's a bit lazy. So it's still okay for the goodies to go on.
I can't remember how far I've read in the books, but I think I need to go back through the later ones and see how far I got. And I wonder if Marco in the books and other people have been amalgamated. You know how possibly, like, they've done that with other people in the show, like you know,
Kara.
Kara G's character. Drummer. She was sort of back ported to earlier stuff, you know, then comes in as the actual character later.
Didn't see her this episode.
Oh, no.
No.
But you see the exchange student, though, don't you?
Exchange.
Where do we see the exchange?
Or has that not happened yet? I'm sure one of the guys on Marcos's ship. Or is he the one that goes away to
the ship? You do see him. The kind of Asian looking fella who has they all have tattoos and that. He's a hostage exchange.
Basically, they swap. Yeah. They swap a crew member as a loyalty guarantor.
From Karagi's polycule.
Yep.
So one of the things, so with Marco Inaris, right, he is it's supposed to become apparent to us, if not earlier, then definitely in this episode, that he's very overtly manipulating Philip. It's like he's basically negging Philip.
Oh yeah, that bit where Philip's trying to get, when you have to, I mean, he was right there. That's actually quite a good scene, that one, the one where Philip comes up and sort of tries to get a ship of his own. That scene is actually quite good.
And then he gets necked into backing down.
Yeah, because
good manipulation.
Because you've got that part. You've got the manipulation part that he does. So he tears them to pieces and then builds them up again. And that's a controlling coercion thing. Know all about that. And the other part of that, though, is that he's obviously suspicious of Philip's motives. Because of his interaction with his mother. So that was actually really quite... I thought it was really well done.
I think
done.
That was smart, yeah. You know. I think it's also smart that Philip doesn't succumb to his mother's ministrations or whatever. Because, you know, you don't undo decades of...
Exactly.
You don't undo decades
of... Yeah, it's 15 years or whatever of being...
When they start going, Philip, it kind of also feels like the crew's in on the manipulation.
That's exactly what it feels like, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe they see it like...
Or they're just being sycophantic to whatever Marco tells them to do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's unlikely they don't see it. Also, nothing Ghosty said, like, Philip is not a good name to chant.
No, it's not.
It doesn't lend itself to
It'd
chanting.
It'd be better if he didn't have the
Keith,
ip.
Keith, yeah. Keith.
Phil, that would sort of work.
Terry.
Phil sounds also like maybe you're, you know, somebody's
Paul,
been digging...
Paul.
Oi,
Paul's the worst.
Sorry, Paul's.
True.
It's a bad name to chant, though.
Oh, my God.
Christopher.
If we have insulted
Andrew,
your name...
Andrew's not
Drew,
bad.
Drew. Andrew's good. Drew's bad.
No, I think it's the other way around.
You need two syllables with a good consonant in between them, I think, is the. And Christopher works. Christopher.
Oh, probably does, actually. Okay. I take it back.
You need distinct syllables.
Yeah. Speaking of syllables, and since we're running out of things to say about The Expanse, did you see my link to my friend doing poetry, you know, friend of the show.
He
was doing this is the brother Voodoo, for anyone that doesn't know, who does another show with me,
I love
which
brother
is on
Voodoo.
Hold at
He's
the moment
great.
But we'll be back hopefully by sort of mid to late summer. It'll be back but he does poetry, and he did not an original idea. Some people pointed out, I was like, for fuck's sake, no, but it was a bit of fun, mate. Come on.
No such thing as a new idea. Don't worry about it.
He did haikus out of Shakespeare plays. And the one I really liked was the Julius Caesar one.
Julius Caesar one was great, yeah.
Yeah, because at the end he goes, he's saying, blah, 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 everybody's against me, sort of thing. I can't remember the exact words. But then he goes, Brutus is okay, though, yeah. You know, Brutus okay though. Yeah. Brutus okay.
Yeah, it was like the Ides of March. Everybody's against me. Brutus is okay, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but I liked that he had the.
The Taming of the Shrew one. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. They were all funny. But I liked that he'd worked out that there was five syllables to "and everybody dies," and then he did that on a couple of them, and then he got the crowd to do it at the end as well. So it was just quite, you know.
I think I like the Tempest one as well. Enjoyed the Tempest one.
Yeah, every time I hear anything about the Tempest story, it immediately makes me think about Forbidden Planet, which is basically what story was. Yeah. You know?
It's another prominent thing that was based on the Tempest as well, isn't there? I was literally thinking about it the other day.
Is it Lost in Space? Kind of?
Not the one I was thinking of. It might partially be.
Or, I don't know, one of those American shows anyway. I don't know enough about Gilligan's Island to know if that's the one. Although I did discover that there was hotties in that recently.
The 10 Things I Hate About You is based on The Taming of the Shrew. And yes, I quite enjoy that film.
So. Yeah.
Although I don't think I've ever seen or become familiar with Taming of the Shrew as a play.
No, I think Shakespeare's plays...
It's one of his early ones, and I think it's not one of his best regarded ones. But it's basically the rom-com of his plays.
Yeah,
it's kind of... It's fun.
Mm. Well, the
I think there's a BBC Shakespeare version with John Cleese in the main role. It's actually very good.
Mm. Well, the ones that I know sort of... I mean, I wouldn't say I know them super well, but the ones that I know a bit better than most Shakespeare plays are the ones that I've either studied at school or things have been based on them, or I've actually seen the play. So I've seen King Lear at a theatre, and that's always stuck in my mind because there's a bit after somebody gets blinded in that one, and it's on a stage, and it was pretty obvious it was like fake and everything, but there was somebody sat in the centre. You know how the centre of some theatres has got like a one big seating area as the central area, and there was a woman like literally in the middle in terms of both left and right and back and forth, and she started throwing up when the eye gouging scene happened, and she like couldn't get out, and it was like obviously I wouldn't be laughing if I was over there. I was over on one side out of the way, but that was
the theatre that I most went to as a kid was the one in Stoke-on-Trent, which is a theatre in the Round, and since then I've always had a real soft spot for theatre in the Round. Like when you've got to think about it being viewed from every angle, you have to do interesting things with the sets and also with the acting. Cool, you can't just act to the front. And I've got a thing for theatre in the Round.
There was a show on
series? What? Remember the
Canon? No, a show on.
Oh, sorry, series.
The on BBC, they did King Lear, and it was like an all black production of King Lear, done in like a circular theatre.
What they got the rugby team to do it.
All blacks,
yeah, the all blacks, yeah, doing a King Lear, yeah.
New Zealand rugby team came and did King Lear. What the hell? Oh, you mean black people? Sorry. Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm looking it up now, but it's like because the thing is, it's really good and it's obviously quite low budget, but they only put it on iPlayer like once every 3 years or something like that.
What have they got? Limited
storage? Oh, that's weird.
Why
take it off?
Yeah, why take it off? It can't be expensive or anything like that.
I like watching recorded plays. Obviously, I can't get to real plays anymore. So I like watching a recorded play. It's really enjoyable.
Well, they did a thing during COVID. Obviously. They did a thing where they were showing plays in places. Yeah.
I think they've got a white people King Lear that sort of just went over it or something. I don't know. Can't have two King Lears.
Racism, right, that's it. No, let's not tar them with that.
I think he was amazing. And also, the king himself, really good role. He had the big coat on, he kind of
I think of King Lear, I think my first exposure to King Lear, there's a Japanese samurai version of King Lear, which is actually really cool. And I think that's what I watched first, so that's always what pops up. I think King Lear, and it's like Japanese castles and samurai.
I know a lot of people, especially of our generation, as it were, Macbeth to them is Weird Sisters by Terry Pratchett. Because it's essentially that's Macbeth, you know.
And to me, Hamlet will be the Lion King. Like it's...
Never seen Black, the Lion King, so I'm guessing that's... A rip off.
You don't know the Lion King. You don't watch the Lion King.
I'm aware of its existence, but I've never watched it. No. Oh, yeah. It's a cartoon. Oh, no,
I don't like. I really don't like talking animals. I mean, in fictive, real world talking animals are cool, but in fiction, like just like, and why? I don't understand. Why would you just make it people then if they're fucking talking?
It's this weird thing.
I mean,
anthropomorphized is fine, you know, like what's the name, Bunny out of Space Jam, whatever, that's fine. But like when they're actual fucking full on animals, yeah, when they're full on animals.
I thought you meant Bugs Bunny. Is that Bugs Bunny when he dresses up as a girl? Is that what you get excited about?
Why millennials grew up to be furries?
No, it's sexy lady Bugs Bunny.
Oh, a real female bunny, right? Okay. Yeah, I thought you meant.
Oh, yeah, not when Bugs Bunny wears a dress or whatever.
No, because
although.
You know,
I would.
Although, you know. Yeah.
Or when Bugs Bunny makes like a dynamite version of a lady Bugs Bunny.
You
would. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you shouldn't. But like.
It's got to go somewhere.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Wow. We've all had our toxic relationships, haven't we?
Sorry, hang on a sec. Oh, no, it's okay. It's just the washing machine. More... I thought there was some sort of alarm, but it's just the washing machine changing cycle.
Yeah. Do we have any more Expanse? I think.
I don't think there really
wasn't much. I thought I was going to say something. Yeah.
It was a lot of Naomi stuff. And the two main points, the two main points outside of that were the bit where they communicate. Well, three things. They communicate between each other, between the screaming Firehawk and the Rocinante. The bits under Rocinante when they're putting together the pieces about the proto molecule.
Oh, I do have a question. And do the bits of the proto molecule
talking to Avasarala. Avasarala.
Well, oh, hang on a minute.
What? When they blow that ship up, have they destroyed the proto molecule?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't think it's clear. Yeah. I'm not sure that's not just a decoy ship.
Yeah, I think they did, but we. Yeah,
we'll
and second thing I'll say is that final scene with Naomi. That's a cool scene.
It is very good. Yeah, yeah. The next one is a Naomi one as well. The next episode is quite a Naomi one, but it's pretty good. It is good. Yeah. It's much more old school Naomi, I'd say. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's about her skills and stuff rather than past relationship and emotions.
Yeah. Mm.
Emotions.
I have a daft question. This is going to be a daft question.
That's all we get around here.
I was possibly a little bit under the impression that the ship, whilst they aimed to kill it, self-destructed before they got a chance to. But was I wrong there?
No, they blew it up themselves. But that's why I thought it was a decoy, maybe. You know? Because they don't communicate either. I think it's blow up the proto molecule rather than somebody else have it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And who was that ship again?
Think the proton molecule has been blown up, so they don't look for it. I don't know.
Oh, that might be it. Although, of course, you've seen it, so you're probably
I promise. I promise. I swear on my sacred honor. I've never
seen it. Have a stock. Is he dead or what?
I don't remember. Fuck all from this point on.
Drummer's dead. Oh, you saw her get crushed by the machine.
We wouldn't do that to you. Oh, right. Okay.
I can't remember if she lives or dies.
I was just going to say a Wheel of Time spoiler, but I better not in case people are watching it.
Yeah, I've not seen it. It'll or read six. It. Oh, yeah. So I might do it at some point.
I quite enjoyed it, actually. I'd actually say I really enjoyed it.
I think season one and two, as somebody who's read the books, and acknowledging that they've got to cut the books are fucking long. You've got to cut 90% of it out, and you've got to rejig everything that remains to make it fit together and make sense. Given that, I think they're doing a very good job. I think season one and two were a bit wobbly, but season three, I think, is beautiful, perfect. It finally gets the tone of the books. I really like season three.
The thing with high fantasy with me is that a lot of it is predicated on vibes. If you've got a nice kind of tone to it, you've got interesting characters. Like, I'll overlook a lot of shit.
I agree with that, but I think the shame for Wheel of Time is because Wheel of Time is all shown, it's all written point of view from the different characters. So you get a lot of internal dialogue, and that's very hard to translate to TV.
The Expanse books are written like that.
Yeah, but the Expanse is more action-oriented.
Yeah, there's a lot more things happening.
A lot of nothing.
Same with Game of Thrones, to be honest.
And also, it's very... No, Game of Thrones is quite the opposite, I think. It's written like TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a TV writer. There's action and there's dialogue in Game of Thrones, and that translates to TV very easily. Whereas Wheel of Time's internal, it's
really?
Just people thinking. I think so. Yeah. But also,
I think it translates well.
George R. R. Martin is connected to Wheel of Time as well.
Wheel of Time is ridiculously lore heavy. There's so much lore and so much world building stuff that they've just got to gloss over, and that's a shame. But there's no other way to get it onto TV.
It's interesting. I suppose in a way that's kind of the difficulty with doing the Tolkien stuff. Which is why they just fucked them up the arse.
In the books, everybody talks like somebody out of a myth rather than actually a human being, intentionally on Tolkien's part. Yeah. But it makes it very sort of alienating if you do it accurately.
Mm-hmm. It is a bit weird the way sometimes they speak normally, as you would say, modern ways, and then sometimes they speak like a Shakespeare character or something. Yeah. But on the subject of TV, since I'm not doing the cultural exchange at the moment, I'm missing out on a lot of things that we would have been doing with Drew. I'm doing it with Drew and Chris instead of doing them with Brother Voodoo. So, the new Doctor Who, have you seen any of it?
No.
Oh, neither have you seen it. All right. Okay. I mean, the first series with Nshuta Gatwa was fucking abysmal. Some great ideas in there. He's great. The companions have been great. All the, you know, all the supporting cast have been great and everything. But they turned it into a fucking High School Musical or Glee or something. There was three musical episodes, I believe, in the first series.
Three?
There was the special.
They made it for Americans.
The special, which was it's the Christmas or New Year special, or whatever. Okay.
Weren't there rumorings of selling it to Disney or something?
No, it is. That's the point. That's it. Disney. Something? Disney do own it now, or the Disney. It's on Disney Plus.
Does Disney own the BBC now?
No, but they have a huge stake in
it. Why is the BBC selling things?
Because they're greedy bastards.
That's how they make most of their money.
Yeah, they make most of their money.
No. I don't mean just selling the rights to show it. What I saw was rumors that they're selling the show. They're selling the property.
They have. Disney are a production.
Why would Disney sell a valuable? They're a public broadcaster. Why are they selling shit?
I've got a lot to say about that. But let's continue. If you want.
I mean, I don't even like Doctor Who. But
if
I
you've
think
got time, yeah, stupid. But it's obviously a very British, and they've taken a lot of the Britishness out of it, isn't it? Which is, to me, is kind of like.
It sounds to me like they've just found that their American audience is going to be bigger than their British audience now.
So yeah, make money possibly. Out of that for a public broadcaster. Don't sell the fucking thing.
Yeah, they've basically given Disney like. Control, essentially. There's three episodes so far of this series, and I've watched them all in the last few days. I didn't watch them at first because I was like, oh fuck, what's going to happen? It's not been quite as Disney-fied as some of it, thankfully. There is a little hint of it every now and again. There's a little tiny bit of a musical theater sort of feel to certain scenes and stuff, you know. But they've got like a background of a proper Doctor Who type thing going on in some of the episodes as well. But then they just sort of, it's like they take it and fuck it up. They take a really good possible idea and then just fuck it up, because they are referencing, since the 60th anniversary particularly, they've been referencing like really old Doctor, like old school, not just the Daleks and the Cybermen, but like, you know, lots of good old Doctor Who episodes and, you know, ideas and stuff. And some of it's been really good, but they then sort of spoil it in episode by doing something fucking stupid. You know, I don't want to get details because if you've not seen them or you're not interested.
Like, say, I love you.
Yeah.
You reminded me of something the other day. Danny was staying with her aunt and uncle in either Washington or Oregon.
Not in...
I like both of those states.
Not in...
they seem nice.
Not in Bel Air, then.
No. Maybe they're aunt and uncle.
Oh, I've got that song stuck in my head.
And also, Danny's not from South Philadelphia, so, you know.
She messaged me and she was like, can my aunt and uncle borrow your BBC login because we want to watch the Great British Sewing something? I was like, yeah, sure. I gave him my login, and then got a message like 2 minutes later going, what the fuck is a television license?
Oh, that's something else I'm going to have to fucking deal with. When I move house, I've not had a TV for 25 years.
If you use iPlayer, you know, legally.
Yeah, legally you need a license to use iPlayer, but I've not used that either.
Isn't the law a bit weird on this, in that if you watch it live, you need the TV
live,
license?
That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, live stuff. Yeah, something like
now,
that.
Now, the BBC will tell you differently.
But the law is...
Basically,
yeah.
Right, I used to follow this lawyer YouTube channel, and I don't anymore because...
Well,
basically, there were
only...
exactly, but he also ended up being a right reform.
I would say sorry to lawyers, but
over the election, yeah, like a real, like, allegedly he was like politically neutral, but like no, he wasn't. He was well, like, it was reform all the way for him. But the two things he would always talk about was TV licenses and Harry and Meghan, and it's like,
who the fuck gives?
I know, obviously, I didn't. you know. Oh, and so, on the occasion, because I followed him originally, because it was like how to get out of parking tickets. I was like, great, you know, that is the premium content I'm signed up for. And it's like, and then I
walking
then
in like, straight lines and how to get out of parking tickets.
Exactly, it's but it's like, again. But then yeah, but then I just like it was more and more of this royal bullshit. And then yeah, but apparently like yeah, like
but he's your really prince, isn't he? License. Isn't Harry your prince, or is that the other one?
No, William's our prince. Oh, and he's right, so the best.
I get confused.
William's our prince, and I hate him. Mm.
And Andrew's the nonce. Yeah,
from York.
Oh no, it's okay. It's okay because his accuser committed suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's all
poor
good.
Fucking Gorman.
And Pete, something to do with Pizza Express as well. Yeah. I've got Pizza Express.
That was his, he used that as an excuse to say he was somewhere else.
He was a Pizza Express when it all happened.
Oh, I know that. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I've got 20% off.
That's a bad alibi when the whole thing was called like Pizzagate.
No, Pizzagate's a different gate.
That's the same. It's the same kind of thing, though, isn't it?
Well, this is getting confusing.
I mean, they're both pizzas.
Right, wait a minute. Can I just say, fucking stop this. We're not talking about them.
About okay. Who? Pizza Express?
No, the people.
I've got a 20% off coupon for Pizza Express. I'm gonna. But the thing is, now I work at a bakery. What do you call it? It's like rivals. Eight rivals. Yeah.
Abetting the enemy.
I think I've used. Pizza Express where they do the dough balls.
Possibly, yeah. A lot of places do.
Nah, I suppose everybody does.
Also, I've got a.
They're like a restaurant. Coupon. They're a set you down one, aren't they?
Also, isn't pizza like fast anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
Our pizza takes 2 minutes.
And they
if I do it straight away.
Now there's one pizza company that I'll never use again. That's Papa John's because I get food poisoning from them.
They're well known as being the worst of the pizzas. Also, Papa John himself, quite racist.
Apparently. Oh yeah, apparently he's a cunt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Domino's are just pizza.
I shamefully gave him the benefit of the doubt because his excuse was he was in a sensitivity call and he used the N-word and he claimed it was just to be sure about.
I was singing along to NWA. All right.
Yeah. It's like I want to know is the right word, and then it's like. Yeah, but you keep saying it.
Like, yeah, it's like, yeah.
You know it now, right? Surely at this point you've got it. It's like, oh. It's like, I always feel so stupid when I give people the benefit of the doubt and it just...
No, I think it's a good human impulse, I think. I think we should give people the benefit of the doubt. And then,
okay, but consider this
in the words of George Bush Jr., you know, fool me once, shame on somebody. Fool me twice.
Well, yeah, but fool me more times than I'm comfortable.
Oh, me too. Me too. Yeah. I'd rather be trusting and get fucked over than
okay. All right. Should we consider this? Let's consider this.
I'm definitely on some sort of weird. I've got a sort of sine wave of emotion in that respect.
No, you're definitely on the other side of that, Hamish. You're like shoot first, ask questions later. Almost, I would say.
But, that's the thing, you know.
I'm shoot first, but only for fun.
Yeah.
Just for the giggles.
Not a moral thing.
Oh, that's... sorry, Chris, on you.
Let's consider this a preemption for our cancellation.
Yeah.
We had good intentions, right? Even if we're going to fuck up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We have the best good of intentions.
Yeah. We believe all human beings are equally valuable.
As targets.
Even the capitalists.
Landlords?
As humans with human dignity.
You've got to be careful with the landlords thing because we upset Andrew quite a lot with that because she's a landlord. But that's her.
It's different. No, that's
she
not
lives
the kind
there
of landlord
and
that we're talking
also
about
she manages the building and looks after things. That's not a landlord. Yeah. That's not the kind of horrific landlords we're talking about. No.
When we say landlords, we mean people who own property. The worst case is the buy-to-lease mortgages where you're just having tenants pay your mortgage, you're getting an asset, they're getting fuck all.
Yeah,
we're not talking about you.
Yeah, just to point that out again. I was going to say, do you guys
know? We love you, Anjun.
We do. We love Anjun. Like, Anjun's posting loads of music, by the way. I'm way behind on everything because I'm sort of in limbo because house move and all that. But yeah, I definitely want to catch up.
Claims not to be religious, but also.
Oh, we've lost. There we go. We lost.
Just before he said the N word.
Claims not to be religious. get zapped by God.
You did. Oh, dear me.
Cancel that prick. I thought what... Get him cancelled.
Look at that. He even looks like he's going to get sent down by God.
You said, claim not to be religious, like that, and I just went...
I got booted by Hamish for criticising his fake atheism.
God zapped you, that's what it was. What were you going to say? Claims to be not religious, but...
But and then in limbo.
In limbo. Oh yeah, very good. Yeah, limbo. Yeah. Mm. So, I was going to say as well, just on a let's get this wrapped up note. Have you heard the Scottish phrase "nae danger"?
No danger.
Well, nae danger. It is in Scotland, but yeah, no danger. Do you know what it means? So, sort of.
I assume like no worries, no trouble.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
worry
that's
about
right.
It.
It's like no worries. Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a very Glasgow and Southwest Scotland thing, though.
No danger.
But I just discovered the other day. Mm. Yeah, it's like no worries. It's just like no danger.
Oh, no danger.
You know, would you mind helping me with this? No danger. You know, it's like that. But you know, it's I discovered there's an energy drink, you know, a rival energy drink made in Scotland that's called No Danger.
That's great.
So I found that quite amusing. It's like no worries. It's a drink. It's like Australians having a drink called no worries. Yeah, it's cool. Everything's fine.
But yeah, all right. But also, in the interest of wrapping up, I do want to say probably the main reason we haven't added Space Virgins in a while is because I've got a new job and I've just moved in with my girlfriend.
Yay!
Well, I love you, Rosie. So this is
Rosie.
New setup.
Hi, Rosie. Does Rosie see these? I think she does.
Oh, yeah, she loves these.
But no, to be appealing to a man-liking audience, you have to pretend to be single for these.
Yeah, that's it. And don't say you're in her flat when we're in space, you liar.
Oh my god! They did do a thing, didn't they, years ago, where they tried to assess what the color of space was, and they found out space is beige.
Something like that, yeah.
So you can paint the walls, but if you paint all our walls, mine's are pretty beige from the cigarette smoke. So
yeah, in here,
I imagine there's a lot of beige in Ed Davies' house.
Also, I also find it amusing that it's surprising pastels. That if you take all the colours and add them up, it adds up to brown. Of course it fucking does.
And that's, I like brown, and that's how colour. People Doesn't should be nice? As well.
I like brown's colour. What was that, Hamish?
That's how people should be, and that's how we'll all end up. And it's a good thing.
Exactly.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a bit of blue.
But I can't remember what this colour's called, but it's a sort of dark grey.
I went to art school. That's called black.
It's not, you know.
I know that one. It's one of the five I know.
Come on, you at least know 16-bit.
No.
Okay, that's black. That's black.
It's shades of black.
Well, it's like people are just shades of brown, you know, or pink, whichever side you want to start. You know?
No, is it a colour? Because I was told...
Black's a lack of
colour. Absence of light is what, colour, yeah.
Or absence of light, yeah.
Well, my art teacher said it was a tone.